Maple Bottle with you, 720 WGN at Soundgarden. Chris Cornell, of course, passing away this week from an apparent suicide. And a lot of talk about the grunge rock scene of the 90s and how few of the people who first broke through that scene are left. And some really good music out there. So we've been spending the last hour in a kind of surreal fantasy world where nothing seems as it should be. Right, Raj?
I do that 24/7.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is like that was our escapism. This surreal world where nothing goes as it should, and everything seems kind of weird and off.
And we enjoyed being within that world.
It's a world where a headline like "Russia probe reaches current White House official," people familiar with the case say, makes sense.
Well, no. You gotta let people know that that's not
from Twin
world.
Peaks. That's from our world,
yes.
The one we're actually living in. That's why we want to escape to these other worlds.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Washington Post headline from earlier today said just that: Russia probe reaches current White House official. The law enforcement investigation into possible coordination between Russia and the Trump campaign has identified a current White House official as a significant person of interest, showing that the probe is reaching into the highest levels of government, according to people familiar with the matter. Senior White House advisor under scrutiny by investigators is someone close to the president, according to these people, who would not further identify the official. The revelation comes as the investigation appears to be entering a more overtly active phase, with investigators shifting from work that has remained largely hidden from the public to conducting interviews and using a grand jury to issue subpoenas. The intensity of the probe is expected to accelerate in the coming weeks, the people said. The sources emphasize that investigators remain keenly interested in people who previously wielded influence in the Trump campaign and administration but are no longer part of it, including former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and former campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Flynn resigned in February after disclosures that he had lied to administration officials about his contacts with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak. Current administration officials who have acknowledged contacts with Russian officials include President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, as well as Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. People familiar with the investigation said the intensifying effort does not mean criminal charges are near or that any such charges will result. Earlier this week, Deputy Attorney General Rod J. Rosenstein appointed former FBI Director Robert Mueller III to serve as special counsel and lead the investigation into Russian meddling. It is unclear exactly how Mueller's leadership will affect the direction of the probe, and he's already bringing in new people to work on the team. Those familiar with the case said its significance had increased before Mueller's appointment. Although the case began quietly last July as an effort to determine whether any Trump associates coordinated with Russian operatives to meddle in the presidential election campaign. And that's amazing to think about. The investigation started months before the actual election. Started last July.
Yeah.
The investigative work now being done by the FBI also includes determining whether any financial crimes were committed by people close to the president. The people familiar with the matter said the probe is sharpened into something more fraught for the White House, the FBI, and the Justice Department, particularly because of the public steps investigators know they now need to take, the people said. When subpoenas are issued or interviews are requested, it is possible the people being asked to talk or to provide documents will reveal publicly what they were asked about. A small group of lawmakers known as the Gang of Eight was notified of the change in tempo and focus in the investigation at a classified briefing Wednesday evening, the people familiar with the matter said. Then FBI Director James B. Comey publicly confirmed the existence of the investigation back in March. Justice Department spokeswoman Sarah Isger Flores said, "I can't confirm or deny the existence or non-existence of investigations or targets of investigations." That is a perfectly Twin Peaks statement. "I can't confirm or deny the existence or non-existence of investigations or targets of investigations." White House spokesman Sean Spicer said, "As the president has stated before, a thorough investigation," and I'm just going to give it his all here. "As the president has stated before, a thorough investigation will confirm that there was no collusion between the campaign and any foreign entity. Period." He didn't say period, but there's a period at the end of the sentence. While there's been a loud public debate in recent days over the question of whether the president might have attempted to obstruct justice in his private dealings with Comey, whom Trump fired last week, people familiar with the matter said investigators on the case are more focused on Russian influence operations and possible financial crimes. The story goes on and on. That is one of two stories that broke this afternoon as President Trump hit the air to head overseas. The other one that I'm just going to paraphrase now, Raj, I believe was the New York Times story.
That, the first one you read was the Washington Post.
This is the Washington Post that they're actually concentrating on somebody close to the president, a senior advisor. That was the Washington Post story, the New York. And by the way, it was fun. The Washington Post, New York Times both break these huge stories this afternoon. And then we're kind of congratulating each other on Twitter. It was pretty funny. But the New York Times story, if I have it right, Raj, correct me, is that it was revealed in the White House transcript of the meeting that President Trump said to, so he fires Comey.
Right.
And then the next day has the very public meeting with the Russian ambassador. Sort of very public, not public, because not only was the Russian ambassador there, everybody knew that, but who else was there that it, not everybody knew? There were two people that were there.
Not the foreign. The ambassador was there.
And then somebody else said.
Another Russian official.
That there's been some heat around, and they didn't publicly put him on the.
Right, he wasn't officially supposed to be there.
But he was there.
And only the Russian press.
And only the Russian press was allowed, and photographs were released by Russia's official news agency, at which place some White House officials were claiming they were duped by the Russians, and you can't trust them, which is hilarious. You invite them into the Oval Office, let them bring a photographer, and then you're mad that they're releasing photos. And then, so then there's all this hullabaloo about that. Vladimir Putin says, well, we'll release our records of the meeting, because there was all this afterwards, of course, the claims were that President Trump declassified information, gave information to the Russians that maybe he shouldn't have because it could compromise the sources and hurt the American intelligence gathering community. So when that hullabaloo came out, the Russians said, hey, we'll give you our notes to Congress as long as the president's okay with that. We've got notes of that meeting, which seemed like, you know, what, are they trying to stick it to President Trump there? What are they doing there? It comes out in the official White House transcript that the New York Times got read to them by somebody that President Trump said to the Russian officials, and I paraphrase, I fired Comey. He was a real nut job.
And
made references to the pressure he was under because of the Russia investigation.
It should ease up. Yeah.
And that was not denied by the White House after that came out.
Yeah.
But the White House will defend it and say, you know, and I'm sure they can defend this, just like just about everything that's come out so far. I don't think there is an exact smoking gun yet. It's come out that in the notes that Comey has that we haven't seen officially released yet, but that have been apparently leaked to the media. He took copious notes apparently after his meeting with President Trump, the dinner. And he said that he said to him, hey, he's a good guy. I'm hoping you can let that go now. He had just fired Flynn the day before. He was out of the White House now. And Trump was basically saying to Comey, you know, he's a good man. I hope you can let that go now is kind of what we've heard was said. He didn't say, I hope you will stop that investigation, or I think you should stop that investigation. What he said was, I hope you can let that go. Just vague enough for him to argue, I wasn't obstructing anything. If he wants to keep going, he can keep going. That's his right. I was just saying, it's a good guy. We got rid of him. You know, I hope you're not bothering with this anymore. And he can try to argue that's not obstruction. He can argue that. I think that it's, is it any different if he asks him personally?
If who asks who?
If the president asks Comey, I guess it's different if he personally says to him, hey, I want you to stop this investigation. But he has said that publicly. But I guess that's not obstruction because
he hasn't just speculated publicly.
He has said, this is a witch hunt. He said, this is, there's nothing to it. This is just, he keeps saying it's an excuse for the Democrats that it's a made up phony story. So he's basically not said, we really don't know. That's up to the investigation. They need to determine what this is. He gives his opinion on it all the time, that it's fake news, that it's a made up story. He has basically said to him, you ought to not be doing this. Now, it's different, I know, if he goes to the director and obstructs justice by saying, hey, I want you to shut this down. But that's not what he did, even in what we're hearing about these transcripts. He just sort of said to him, hey, you know, I hope you can let this go now. I don't think that's going to be enough for impeachment proceedings or anything else. Well,
I don't think anything that's come up so far has been grounds for impeachment proceedings. And even if it was impeachment, he'd still be in office.
Not if he was convicted of the impeachment.
Bill Clinton was impeached.
But he wasn't convicted of the impeachment.
Right. Well,
there's a two-part process
right,
to that.
Two-part process. That's what I'm saying. He could still be impeached.
Yeah, he could be impeached and still be president.
Doesn't go
although
anything.
He'd be really ticked off about that.
Well, yeah.
As I'm sure Clinton was, too. But so President Trump also described this. So he gives a commencement address to what, Coast Guard graduates?
Yeah.
And you got to wonder if he gets there.
Sure
what the hell?
Wait, was it Coast Guard or Marines?
I thought it was Coast Guard.
I'll look it up.
He's giving a graduation speech to these guys, and his life lesson to them is, I'm being unfairly prosecuted. This is the biggest windshield. His quote was, and I could tell you this with great surety, that I am being treated more unfairly than any president in history.
Yeah, it was the Coast Guard. Yeah, you're right.
And that's just so amazing. And he went on this when he had his, who was the president of Colombia? Who was in town? Who was hanging out with him at the house?
When he made the speech?
No, that was his Coast Guard speech. Hey, we have to keep up, Raj. Then like yesterday, he has a little press conference with the leader of another country. I thought it was Colombia because there was a big deal about the drug trade. So I'm guessing Colombia. Sorry, Colombians, if I'm unfairly. There was a world leader in town that he had a meeting with, and then they do their little press conference where they each make a statement about how great the countries are, and we work together, and we're so good, so great.
Right.
And then they take a couple of questions. And so I think it was the president of Colombia. And in that, he said, that it is a witch hunt. And that, what was the other thing he said? There was something else that he said in that one that was...
The part of that press conference that CNN has been running ad nauseum all day is that a reporter got up and started to ask about the Russian collusion allegations
and
everything else.
No,
and he just pursed his lips and he goes, no. And the guy kept asking, no.
Well, he answered the question. The guy started the question. Is there any blah, blah, blah? And he said, no, no, no. Next question.
Yeah, so
312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. Max or Orion, or maybe both of them, coming up with the morning show at 5 o'clock this morning. 312-981-7200 is our number. 815 text the whole obstruction of justice hullabaloo. Thank you for writing hullabaloo, is all moot now because Comey, after that meeting, testified in Congress and said he has not seen obstruction of justice. And that is, we don't know that Comey even felt that what Trump said to him was obstruction of justice. That's not necessarily in the notes. He just says what Trump said in the notes. We could interpret that as being obstruction of justice. But I do believe the way it's written, the way we've heard it, it wouldn't stick like that. And as I said, Comey himself testified that he has not seen obstruction of justice in this case. Now, maybe he could change that down the road. Who knows? Whatever. But I don't think that's what sticks. The story about that where I was reading, Roger, about there being a person of interest. Now, I thought this afternoon. I started thinking about, well, that's interesting because there's a lot of people in the White House and there's a lot of advisors. I don't know who they all are.
A lot of people close to him. That's what the report says. Someone very close to him.
Yeah. And I did immediately think, Jared Kushner. And it makes sense to me. Now, I keep seeing online people saying Jared Kushner. Has it been?
There are rumors.
There are just rumors. New York Times, Washington Post, nobody has said.
No one has
and it
come
looks
out
like
said
it's Jared Kushner.
And confirmed it. No.
So people are just guessing this. And it really makes sense as a guess. Now, maybe it's not Jared Kushner, but I keep thinking about where are they going wrong here? And part of where they're going wrong and facing all these issues is, one thing President Trump promised to do is bring in outsiders, be an outsider, drain the swamp. And although his swamp is filled with politicians and people who he kind of claimed he's getting rid of, he does have a lot of outsiders there, including Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, who is running a whole lot of stuff that he doesn't appear necessarily suited for. Undoubtedly a very smart young man who runs a real estate empire himself, things like that, et cetera, et cetera. He's putting that on hold to help out his father-in-law run the country. But he's no politician, and he's not probably well-versed in the laws of the ethics of this and that with whatever politicians have to do. So it would make sense that if somebody screwed up as far as the ethics of what's allowed to be done and not be done. It would be an outsider who thought, well, you know, well, we can just do this or do that, right? Mm-hmm. And then finds out later, oh, no, you can't do that. I imagine that, I don't know, to me that makes a lot of sense. Like if somebody's being investigated because of these ethics breaches or whatever we're going to categorize them as, it would be one of the outsiders who comes in to help out and give advice. And you gotta, and also think of it this way. Trump, I mean, you just look at Trump every day, right? He keeps doing these things that undoubtedly drive his staff insane.
Oh, yeah.
Spicer and who's the young lady who's also a spokesperson? Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah.
Is she really related to Mike Huckabee?
Yeah.
He's a lunatic. Have you seen his tweets?
Yeah.
He was coming to Chicago for a speech this week, and he joked on Twitter about having to duck and run from the airplane to
avoid getting shot.
Yeah. What a jackass. And he keeps, and oh, God, for Cinco de Mayo, he did something like, I'm going to slug down a Corona and eat nachos all day or something. I mean, I don't know who that guy is, but what a jerk he seems to be. So his daughter, very nice, I'm sure, but she's out there and Sean Spicer's out there after the Comey firing saying it was this, it was this, it was this. And then the president speaks and says, well, it was this. I was going to do it anyways. It was my decision because it can't not be his decision. It can't be I took the advice of so-and-so and did this. It always for Trump has
to be. He's smarter than that.
I did this. Yeah. It's me. I did it. I wanted this. No matter what they said, I was doing it. So then the reporters come back to these guys and they're like trying to spin it, trying to protect their boss.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Jared Kushner or anybody else in there, you're used to, let's not let dad find out about this. Let's not do this. They're trying to insulate, I'm sure, as best as they possibly can.
But they fail.
Well, they do seem to quite often. Because he's uncontrollable. They're doing the best they can, I'm sure.
You know what? I understand what you're saying. I don't think he is uncontrollable. I think he's I think that he is being exactly the person who he was before he ran for president.
Absolutely.
He ran a company and he did what he wanted to do. It was his company.
Sure. I agree, Roger. That doesn't mean he's not uncontrollable. He didn't have to be controlled in his previous life.
Exactly.
He'd do whatever the hell he wanted. And if it failed or whatever, he could blame everybody else, but he still got to do what he wanted.
Right.
Now, there are checks and balances and things he can and can't do. He has to fall under these things, but he's not used to that. And he doesn't play by those rules.
Right.
So he is uncontrollable. And I think the people around him are, and I'm not saying they're the greatest people or they're good people or whatever. I don't know what they are or aren't. But I'm guessing that they're doing the best they can to mitigate the damage he does to himself. And sometimes it's a failing cause. I'm sure there's hiding of the phone. It seems like at least because they'll go a day or two without tweeting. And then suddenly, you know, here come the tweets and they change the message they've been trying to get out and seem to have agreed upon. And then he changes the narrative and then they all have to, you know, run around and try to figure it out. So I could see where there are things that Jared's going to get in trouble for, whoever it is, who will say, well, I couldn't bring that to him. God knows what he would have done. You know, we have to, you know, we feel incumbent upon ourselves to protect the American people from letting the president know certain things because he then says whatever or does whatever and it backfires on him. And so, you know, we're trying to, you know, you keep hearing reports of insiders saying we're hoping for a drama-free week this week and they're not getting it. And how about the other story? I don't know if you saw this, Roger, because it got lost in the avalanche of stories. I saved this one story from way earlier this week. I still have it up here. I do. It was from Politico.
Mm-hmm.
This is from May 15th, so it's not that long ago now. It's 5 days ago, but it seems like forever ago. And it was a very interesting story about how he ends up with fake news. Because a lot of times President Trump will tweet something referring to something that either he saw on Fox or on cable or somewhere, and then people look into it and go, wait a minute, that didn't happen, or that's not true. That's not how it is. And there was this whole story in Politico about how
Lewandowski? Who made the statement? I remember seeing something like that too, where he is quoted as saying that if I ever wanted the president to take some action on something or something like that, I would just go on one of the news stations on Fox or whatever.
Find a story about it and get it
and
in front
just
of them.
And just say the fake news.
And that,
say fake
news. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're providing him with fake news to get him to act on things, and they've got to corral it. We'll get more into that. We got to take a break. It is 4:33 in the morning. Let's get upstairs and check the headlines now with Roger. Good morning, everybody. 720 WGN. Matt Babala here with you for another 22 minutes. Max Norian got the morning show after that. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio here on the Magnificent Mile in the historic Tribune Tower. Roger, as you've said, rain is on the way, but I do not see it here on Michigan Avenue as of yet.
No, it is not. It is still quite a ways west of us. It's, let's see here, it's just west of Galesburg, one portion of it. But the majority of it is still further south. Hannibal, Missouri, is right in the thick of it right now. It is passing through St. Louis. It's kind of stuck over the St. Louis area, actually. There's a portion that's broken away already and is south of Springfield, southeast, actually, of Springfield, heading towards Olney. There's another small portion down near Cape Girardeau, headed towards Carbondale and Murfreesboro.
Either way,
yeah.
It doesn't look like it's going to be a grand Saturday if you're planning on being outdoors at all.
Nah, going to be very windy, gust up to 30 miles an hour at times. So it's going to be chilly. That 60 is not going to feel like 60. Obviously, a little further inland, it'll be a little warmer.
I'm looking at the Weather Channel app for West Dundee out where I live.
Okay.
The high temp, according to this hour by hour, will hit at 7 p.m. tonight. It's supposed to get up to 67, but...
we'll play a game then. It'll be a lot warmer.
It's a good idea, except there's a 65% chance of thunderstorms at the time. So
all right. So don't hold an umbrella.
You got an answer for everything there, Chuckles. Sunday should get up, at least in my neck of the woods, around 63, and Monday back in the 70s finally, but then next week is kind of rough.
I already looked ahead to Wednesday. That's when I usually play golf.
Yeah.
And there's rain in the forecast again there.
Yeah, later in the week it gets warm again. Maybe summer will finally start being on its way.
We're going to skip summer.
See a bunch of upper 70s later in the week.
Yeah, going straight from spring to fall.
Yeah, what the heck.
I like that. Hey, Chuckles. You missed what my comment during the news about the election, where Rouhani has been proclaimed the winner.
Who's Rouhani?
Hassan Rouhani.
Okay.
Who has won a second term in the election right now for Iran to lead the country of Iran. And they had over a 70% voter turnout.
Wait a minute. Iran. Husani.
Hassan Rouhani.
That's not.
He's the president.
Is there somebody above the president?
There's the religious leader.
Sort of like being president of Russia.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. And who is the religious leader of Iran?
God, no. I forgot who it is right now.
The name is Mujam.
That's easy for you to say.
Mujahideen or something, isn't it?
He was the previous president.
That guy's not there anymore?
No.
Oh.
No. That was the... I know who you were talking about.
Yeah. That was the last guy who was really in the news that we were dealing with Iran,
well, because
right?
He was very anti-American and everything. Iran's supreme leader of Iran... the president, excuse me, is Hassan Rouhani, who I just mentioned,
right.
And the supreme leader, the religious leader, is Ali Khan. I'm going to mess this name up now. Khamenei.
Their religious leaders, I'm sure, is still very big deal, but it's not Ayatollah Khomeini big anymore, right? We hear more about the president.
Oh, no. Yeah, the president is the one that, because they're trying to be more of a republic than a dictatorship.
Okay. And so this election, we believe, was real, is fair. It's not like...
he was up for re-election.
Like Putin. It's not like when... who is the guy that ran Iraq? Hussein. It's not like when he would run for re-election and get 99% of the vote.
Exactly. No. He actually had some opposition and that wanted to take... wanted to take a more staunch approach to things. And apparently Rouhani wants to take a more, I don't want to say liberal. I don't think it goes that far.
I doubt they use that word out there.
Yeah, no. But you know what I mean? Trying to be a little more inclusive.
All right. So let's jump back into this because we're running out of time. And I do want to get the story in because there's so much every day out of the White House right now that it's hard to keep up. And some stories end up not sticking for very long because something else usurps them, right? One of the things I talked about last week was the two scoops of ice cream. Not that that's a story that needs more attention, but that's just an interesting, goofy little thing that makes you just, you know, if President wants two scoops of ice cream, he should have two scoops of ice cream.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, as much as we're going to jump on him about every single thing, and believe me, we could. There's more than enough. The ice cream thing, I know a lot of people want to be like, God, what, you know, what a jerk. He's getting more dessert than everybody else. I don't think it's that he's telling everybody else, you can't have this.
Right.
It's just that the staff knows, hey, you know what he likes? He likes two scoops of ice cream. Why don't we hook him up with two scoops of ice cream from the beginning? Because that's what he likes. So let's give it to
him. He's the president.
Yeah. You know, it's fine. And I don't think they're telling the press or whoever's eating with him, I'm sorry, you don't get two scoops of ice cream. It's just that when you serve a standard dessert, you serve it a standard way. If there's a guest who's there, if you go to your favorite restaurant every night of the week and they have a dessert on the menu, but you're there every single night and they know that you like two scoops, they're going to give you a second scoop of ice cream, even though everybody else is maybe getting one because you're your favorite customer and you're there all the time. He's the president. He eats there every night. And he's told them, or somebody told them, you know what he really likes? You want to make him happy? Second scoop of ice cream.
Yeah,
that's what they do. In the same story for Mike Pence, he doesn't get the dessert at all. He gets a fruit plate. That is so Mike Pence, isn't it? Isn't it, though?
I don't know. I don't know the guy.
I know you don't know the guy, but here's what you do know. You know, he's ultra conservative. He's ultra religious. He will not go to a party that has women unless his wife is with him. He won't go out to eat with a work colleague female if his wife is not with him.
That's true.
So as you would expect, he's not having the dessert. He's having a fruit plate because he's like 2% body fat and, you know, I had protein and soy milk or whatever. Who knows? But it's just so Mike Pence that he doesn't have dessert. He gets the fruit plate.
Okay.
While Trump's getting two scoops of ice cream.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get upset at him with that. It was an idiosyncratic thing that was reported. It's interesting, but I'm not like, God, what a jerk getting the two scoops of ice cream. He probably needs to cut back on the ice cream at some point a little bit. The other story that came out that got glossed over, and we'll get back to the fake news here in a second, but here's another one that went by that I think everybody kind of forgot about real quick. Did you see that Trump doesn't believe in exercise?
That one I didn't see.
There was a story out that he doesn't believe in like running or going to the gym or things like that, because he feels that human energy is a finite resource. I'm paraphrasing just slightly on this.
Okay.
He believes you're sort of like a battery. You got so much in there.
Oh. Okay.
And so you shouldn't be going running marathons and doing all that stuff because you're killing off energy.
And he's heard of sleep?
I thought he doesn't believe in a lot of sleep either, but he has some sort of theory like, you know, you're just killing off energy that your body only has so much of. So there was that. It's just one thing after another that's just interesting with him. There was the story about how he's got the button that he hits and a butler brings him a Coke whenever he wants. Ready with a Coke. Yeah, we'd all like to have that person in our life. Yeah,
he's not Harry Carey where he's got a little mini refridge sitting behind him stacked full of Diet Cokes or Coke.
Well, then he'd have to pour them himself. Why would you do that if you got some guy who'll run in?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I see this picture of him with a nice glass of ice cubes. He's got it nice and cold and ready to go. All right, I've got to take one more break, but we've got to get to the story about how he gets the fake news because it's a really interesting story about the interplay in the White House and how some people get him stories and other people try to put up a shield around to make sure he's not getting stories that are going to cause more problems. We'll get to that next, 720 WGN. We'll be right back. Ed Bubala with you, 720 WGN. All right, we're running out of time. Orient's coming up in a few minutes, so let me get through this as quick as I can. It was a Politico story from earlier this week about how the president ends up with fake news or news that he then tweets about or something that then gets proven wrong, or just he starts taking stands or changes things. White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus issued a stern warning at a recent senior staff meeting. Quit trying to secretly slip stuff to President Trump. Just days earlier, KT McFarland, the deputy national security advisor, had given Trump a printout of two Time magazine covers. One, supposedly from the 1970s, warned of a coming ice age. The other, from 2008, about surviving global warming, according to four White House officials familiar with the matter. Trump quickly got lathered up about the media's hypocrisy. But there was a problem. The 1970s cover was fake. Part of an internet hoax that circulated for years. Staff chased down the truth and intervened before Trump tweeted or talked publicly about it. The episode illustrates the impossible mission of managing a White House led by an impetuous president who has resisted structure and strictures his entire adult life. While the information streamed to past commanders in chief has been tightly monitored, Trump prefers an open Oval Office with a free flow of ideas and inputs from both official and unofficial channels. And he often does not differentiate between the two. Aides sometimes slip him stories to press their advantage on policy. Other times they do so to gain an edge in the seemingly endless Game of Thrones inside the West Wing. The consequences can be tremendous, according to a half dozen White House officials and others with direct interactions with the president. A news story tucked into Trump's hands at the right moment can torpedo an appointment or redirect the president's entire agenda. Current and former Trump officials say Trump can react volcanically to negative press clips, especially those with damaging leaks, becoming engrossed in finding out where they originated. That is what happened in late February when someone mischievously gave the president a printed copy of an article from GotNews.com, the website of internet provocateur Charles C. Johnson, which accused Deputy Chief of Staff Katie Walsh of being, quote, the source behind a bunch of leaks in the White House. No matter that Johnson had been permanently banned from Twitter for harassment, or that he offered no concrete evidence, or that he had lobbed false accusations in the past and recanted them, Trump read the article and began asking staff about Walsh. Johnson told Politico that he tracks the IP addresses of visitors to his website and added, quote, I can tell you unequivocally that the story was shared all around the White House. White House Chief of Staff Chief Strategist Steve Bannon defended Walsh, who has since left the administration to advise a pro-Trump group. In a statement to Politico, he said Katie was a key member of the team and is a trusted friend and ally of the White House. No one in the White House took that article seriously. Walsh declined to comment. But the smear of one of Priebus's closest allies, Walsh was his chief of staff at the RNC, vaulted from an obscure web posting to a topic of heated conversation in the West Wing, setting off many internal investigations into who had backstabbed Walsh. So it's just amazing that these guys are in there. They're all vying for a little power, want the ear of the president, want whatever thing they're working on to get a little more attention or want to change his mind. Give him a news article. And it's not always from, you know, he screams about fake news all the time. But here they are handing him some, the fake Time magazine cover photo, just to set him off, just to get him talking about something maybe that they want talked about. It is a different White House than what we've seen in past years. There is no doubt about that. All right, we'll check in with Orion live from Arizona next, 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. Mr. Roger Badish, I will see you next weekend for like the fourth weekend in a row.
You know, we've got to stop meeting like this.
Yeah, right there. Sound like
yeah,
something.
I think so. Well,
just throw something out there.
Great. No, I didn't throw it out on. I did it on purpose.
Oh,
crack the old neck, and
don't
you know.
Someday it might not come back, Rog.
Yeah, I. You mean I'll be like this?
Yeah, it could be. You'll end up like Felix Unger forever.
Oh please!
Wouldn't that be terrible?
I hope I'm not that bad. God, I love that character.
He was a good kid. That was such a good show. Still such a good show.
Yeah.
Joining us live from Arizona right now from the WGN West Studios, it's Mr. Orion Samuelson. Good morning, Big O.
Well, good morning, Matt, and good morning, Roger. Yes, while I continue to lounge in Arizona recovering from surgery, Max Armstrong is running all over the country doing his job and my job. But he's going to check in this morning with a report on something that came up a year ago, and now it's back.